podcast party. Descent into Avernus.
My name is Hylan. My friends and I are fighting a mind flayer and a pack of demons at the door of the Bleeding Citadel. And the door has just started to glow with a holy light.
These doors glow with a golden light, and runes in celestial appear across the door, and they say, "Against evil, we stand united. Only the pure of heart can part these holy gates. The presence of evil is anathema." And Lulu looks back at you all and goes, "I don't even know what to do."
I say, "You can't open them yet, Lulu. We can't let them in."
I sort of gesture to the array of demons around me.
Oh, gosh.
Just stay up there, Lulu.
Yeah, she's just going to chill. Ophelia, it's your turn.
I am going to cast Cure Wounds level 3 on myself.
Nice.
Yes.
I am feeling better.
Good.
Bonus action. I'm going to give Bardic Inspiration to Renaissance.
Cheers.
Nice.
Corbin, it's your turn.
Corbin is going to, once again, use his bonus action to hit the Mind Flayer with the pillow.
Yes.
Come on, 27.
27 hits.
14 force damage. That pillow's beating the crap out of him. He's still up. Corbin is going to move 5 feet south, which means he'll get one op attack from a dretch.
12.
Right off the breastplate, yes.
And then he's going to move 20 feet south, and he's going to once again cast Spirit Guardians around himself.
Nice.
Oh my god, do I have any spell slots left? Fourth level. I'm burning out of spell slots. So he's kind of in the middle of the battlefield to hit as many enemies as he can.
At the end of your turn, but before the beginning of Hylan's turn, Zoltress will use one of his abilities that you haven't seen before. It's called Slinking Sidestep. He moves his full movement without provoking attacks of opportunity. So he'll just sort of retreat back into the corner.
Fuck this guy, man.
Hylan, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to bonus action disengage and go directly between Corbin and Ophelia, like to the right of Corbin and 5 feet south of Ophelia. I'm just going to hit one of these dretches until I can move again.
West of me.
That's the one that's the most hurt.
It's the one that's not going to get killed by Corbin in a second anyway.
Spirit Guardians is going to eat him up.
All right, so I see Renaissance just doing a like, pointing that one, and I'm going to throw the first psychic blade at the one to his west. That's a 12. I'm going to expend another psionic energy die to try to hit with that.
Well, a 12 actually hits, so you don't need to.
Oh, good. Okay. That's big. That's 10 psychic and 24 sneak attack for 34 damage.
Yeah, this dretch is dretchimated. We did it.
Yes! Total dretchimation. That's it. I'm going to see where I am.
So I'll just try a different tactic this time, seeing is that he's not in a good way anymore, and he sees that there's really only one way that he could potentially get maybe another ally on his side. And so he will cast on you, Corbin, a spell. Would you mind, please, making a wisdom saving throw?
13
plus 8, too, man. Come on.
6 seconds before, you looked at this creature with hatred in your eyes and countenance, but now it seems to you like your best friend that you would do anything to defend.
Son of a bitch.
And this creature is now controlling you, Corbin, like a puppet. You have been dominated. Actually, wait a second. You are fighting it, so you have advantage on the saving throw. Please roll it again.
Come on, Corbin. No!
Crit fail 1 for a 9.
Oh, well, Jesus. I gave you the chance. I'm sorry, dude.
You did.
So while you are charmed, you have a telepathic link between yourself and the creature that is controlling you. The first thing that Zoltress commands you to do is turn off your spirit guardians, which you can do as a free action.
Oh, no problem, sorry.
And I drop my spirit guardians.
What the fuck are you doing, Corbin?
Corbin, good. What are you doing? Corbin.
Good. Stop attacking my friend.
Corbin,
what?
As Corbin speaks, it sounds like this reverberant voice in your mind. You know immediately that he is being mind controlled. His eyes have this sort of orange glow about them. And you just hear this sort of cackling, gurgling laugh coming from the direction of Zoltress. His tentacles are undulating with laughter. The dretches now go. They will cast an ability, which is called Fetid Cloud, a 10-foot radius of disgusting gas. They fart. What do you want to call it? It's a dretch fart.
Yeah, I mean...
Yep. We've seen this. Yep. Any creature that is in 10 feet of it will need to make a constitution saving throw or be poisoned.
Yeah, nobody can get any help from me here. You're a little too far.
It's just Lulu and Ophelia and Renaissance. Lulu's constitution save, she rolled an 8.
Renaissance got a 14.
That's enough. You save.
Ophelia got a 12.
That's not enough. So you are poisoned, which means you have disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks. The unfortunate thing about a Dretch Fetid Cloud is beyond being poisoned, you can take either an action or a bonus action, but not both. And you cannot take reactions. The gnolls, it is now their turn. They will all three charge you.
Yeah, I figured that.
6 attacks with their glaive. 2 hits, 3 hits, 4 hits, and a crit.
I uncanny dodge the first one.
Do you want to uncanny dodge the crit? I'll allow you to do that if you'd like.
Yes, please.
37 slashing damage.
We each take 18 points of actual damage, Highland.
So these glaives just bite into your arms, your legs, your torso, and these cackles of these creatures just are surrounding you. Renaissance, it's your turn.
I just charge towards the mind flare so the dreshers can go ahead and take some swings at me.
One actually may hit with 21.
21 is target.
3 slashing damage. The other one misses.
Charge towards the Mind Flayer. I take 2 swings with Heaven's Fall. Jesus, 14?
A 14 misses, unfortunately.
And a fucking 12.
Unfortunately not,
oh
sir.
Oh my god.
The creature just looks down at you and says, submit to the inevitable. Your resistance is pitiful.
Don't mess.
Lulu spends her turn just pulling at that door, pounding on it, and she's just screaming, open. Please, please open.
Okay, Ophelia will step.
Okay. If you step 5 feet to the right, I'm sorry to say this, if you step 5 feet to the right, these creatures have glaives, which means they have a 10-foot reach. So one will get an opportunity attack on you.
I will still do it.
That is a 24 to hit.
That, I am feeling lucky. Let's reroll that.
That is a 25 to hit, I crit.
Shit.
I'm okay. Trying to protect you, you have to stay within 5 feet of me.
You choose which die to use, it says. So yeah, I choose the one that's not a crit.
Okay, good choice.
You know, like a sane person would.
Yeah, that's 10 slashing damage.
I'm gonna go ahead and cast Lightning Bolt once again on the Mind Flayer.
Nice.
A DC 16?
Oh, he fails with a 10.
Oh, shit!
So that's gonna be 24 lightning damage.
Ophelia Liadon, how do you wish to end Zaltris the Mind Render?
Yes!
Yay! Her eyes narrow and she says, as I said, no one will be my master. And she shoots lightning straight out of her hand and it hits the Mind Flayer square in the chest and you see his body convulse and then fall to the ground.
Good for you, Ophelia.
Yes.
Hey, he's my friend. Wait a minute.
Yeah, and all of a sudden,
never mind. Ignore what I've done for the last 6 seconds. Never mind.
Corbin, Shiv, you're up.
So there's 3 creatures in front of us.
3 gnolls.
And Highland's wounded.
Dretches are real fucked up. The gnolls are not hurt that bad.
No spells left. Bonus action, I'll hit one of the dretches. 18.
18 hits.
12 points of force damage.
That ends it.
Dead dretch.
Nice.
Corbin is just going to go, Ilmata, burn them, and he's going to cast Word of Radiance. Every enemy within 5 feet of me needs to make a DC 16 constitution saving throw.
One succeeds, one fails.
The one that succeeds takes nothing. The other one takes 11 points of radiant damage.
And it seems like the radiant damage actually may be doing more to these creatures than you have originally thought they would.
I love to hear that. Which one did he hit? Which one wins?
The one in the middle.
Okay.
And that is my turn.
Hylan, you're up.
Okay, I would like to please manifest one blade and stab the gnoll right in front of me. Well, that's a crit fail. So I will be manifesting another one. I'm trying to hit it with that. That's a 16 to hit.
A 16 will hit.
That is 6 psychic and 15 sneak attack for 21 damage.
That one literally had 21 hit points, and it is dead.
Excellent.
It just falls to the ground and twitches its little leg sort of in a reflex action, and then is still.
I'll stay where I am.
The single dretch that's left will run at Ophelia. A 13 and a 19.
The 19 will hit.
5 slashing damage.
out.
The gnolls will move to encircle Hyland and will take four attacks, all at advantage on you, Hyland, with their glaives.
My AC's a 16.
Two hits this time, total of 18 damage.
I uncanny dodge the first one.
Okay, cool. So that is only five. Five plus seven, that's 12 damage.
Okay, six damage for each of us.
That's their turn. Renis, it's your turn.
I charge away from the heap of Mind Flayer corpse that Ophelia just fried, down towards where she's fighting got a dretch and a gnoll on her. I move so that I'm flanking the dretch with Ophelia. I take a swing with Heaven's Fall at the dretch. That is going to be a 25 to hit.
That'll hit.
That is going to be 19 total damage on the dretch.
It's absolutely devastated. One hit, one kill.
I've got five more feet of movement, so I actually keep going, and I'm now close enough to hit the gnoll. I take a swing at the gnoll. 15.
That one absolutely hits it too.
Total of 16 damage. I'm going to drop a level 1 Divine Smite on this guy. Is it a fiendish gnoll, or does it just seem to be
a
gnoll?
It is a fiendish gnoll. It does seem to have some sort of spikes and claws that distend greater than you would think an average gnoll may actually have those kinds of things around them.
In that case, it's going to take 14 more radiant.
Okay, so that's actually 28, awesome. Because they are vulnerable to radiant damage, and that decimates it.
Nice.
Yes.
And that is my turn. That's as far as I can get.
I'm just going to skip Lulu and go right to Ophelia. Ophelia, you feel like you can breathe. Some kind of weight has been lifted off of your shoulders. Some kind of pressure that you felt inside your heart and inside your mind. Ever since this creature that you destroyed with that lightning bolt was defeated, you just feel like everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wouldn't it be ironic if the last gnoll killed her?
Oh my God.
Stop it.
Way to go, Tom.
That would be
way to go,
horrible.
Tom.
Everything is going to be okay from now on.
Honestly.
Wow.
Ophelia casts Tasha's Mind Whip on the remaining gnoll. A DC 16 intelligence save.
Oh, these things are dumb as rocks. It fails with a 4.
Yeah, that's 11 psychic damage. Normally you don't hear the crack of the whip, except if it's in your own mind, but I think everybody hears the crack of the whip. And you just see the gnoll grabbing its head in searing pain.
Corbin's going to swing the pillow down, and as the pillow flies in, he is going to loop around this last gnoll. So he's flanking with Hyland, and he's going to try to time his shot with his pillow and his Hellfire Warhammer at the same time. First his pillow, 17.
Yeah, that pillow hits.
12 force damage. And then he's going to take his hammer.
Die, dog.
A 15.
15 is target.
7 bludgeoning, and his holy strikes is another 5 radiant.
That is enough to kill him.
Awesome.
Oof.
And for the first time in what seems like an eternity, you are out of combat. As the last fiendish gnoll falls, the door opens. There is a blast of pure white light that burns away the blood and grit staining your clothes. Restorative energy brings life to numb muscles as the glow softens to reveal the interior of a sun-kissed cathedral. How light passes through the scab and into the stained glass windows is a mystery only magic can answer. Pillars line a path from the door to a raised dais carved with celestial runes. Embedded in a stone atop the dais is a glowing longsword.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Yes. I think we found it.
Lulu begins to weep and falls to the ground.
We found it. Oh, that's the sword.
And a voice comes from inside the cathedral. As a translucent image of a woman in her 30s wearing plate armor and bearing a thin scar upon her cheek appears, staring solemnly at the sword with sad eyes. She says, "Yes, Lulu, it is beautiful, is it not?" You can see through this figure, which is very similar to the figure of Olanthius, when you saw him when he was summoned via the Flute of Bone. So you know immediately that she is a ghost. And this figure says, "I am afraid," as she looks at the four of you, "that you cannot wield it yet. But please, come in. You will be safe here."
"Are you Lady Yael?"
"Lady, no. But I was General Yael, faithful to the Archangel Zariel."
"Olanthius asked us to give you his love."
She looks down and then looks back up at you and says, I wish that could be, but I'm sworn to protect this sword.
Lulu says the sword contains the celestial part of Zariel. Well, we all hope that it could restore her, redeem her.
She says, yes, I understand. If you wish to obtain the sword for such a purpose, it is important that you understand more about Zariel herself. Allow me to show you. She lifts her arms, and a beautiful golden light surrounds all of you. And you feel your health revivify within yourselves. You feel all of your wounds heal. All of your spell slots are completely restored, and you level up to level 12.
Nice!
Wow.
Nice.
Awesome. Like an instant long rest, Matt, is what you're saying?
It is an instant, absolutely, an instant long rest.
Great.
Wow.
Is a very advantageous thing, considering that you only have 2 days before Elturel sinks into the Styx and is lost forever. She says, please, follow me. And she glides over to a stained glass window. This is a stained glass window that you recognize because it was very, very similar to the tapestry that Mad Maggie showed you over in Fort Knucklebone. In fact, it is almost exactly alike, except for the fact that it contains a whole version of the triptych that depicts the archdevil Asmodeus offering his hand to the beautiful angel Zariel, offering her a place at his side. It stands next to a stained glass window depicting Zariel as an angel with beautiful blue wings as she holds the sword aloft in front of her, and a picture of her defending herself against hordes of devils and demons. Yael speaks and says, as you probably know, Zariel was not always the Archduke of Avernus. And as she speaks, the stained glass animates and shows the angel Zariel actually moving to take Asmodeus' hand. And as she does so, Asmodeus' lips curl in a smile. And then Asmodeus moves to lop off Zariel's hand with his weapon. The angel rises to her feet, and as she does so, her blue feathered wings wither and blacken. Her soft hair dries out and falls off, and her shining halo becomes an arch of hellfire around her bald pate. Yael continues, her fall seemed sudden, but I knew her better than most. It was the natural conclusion of a promise she made long before. Yael moves on to stand in front of another stained glass window. This one, again, Zariel, before her fall, fighting off these hordes of demons and devils. And once again, the window begins to animate. Humanoid knights on horse appear to fight alongside her, wielding lances and swords. Yael says, we followed her into hell because we believed in her, because we believed she was right, that we could not win a war if we only defended ourselves. To defeat evil, we had to take the fight to the fiends. We all knew that, for we had seen many times the consequences of passivity and timidity. The ghost of Yael moves on to pause in front of a third stained glass window, shows peaceful Hamlet on a sunny day. Yael turns to you all and says, Zariel's fall began here, long before she came to hell. Her voice sad and filled with regret. The window shifts, showing demonic figures loping through this town, now setting fires and slaughtering townspeople. The ghost's form begins to glow brighter and brighter and brighter until the light shining from her is blinding, and she issues forth to you a challenge and says, if you wish to obtain the sword of Zariel, you must understand her. Lulu's eyes turn pure white, and she says, I remember everything. Lulu's words are the last thing you hear, but for the world around you is only light. A wave of radiant energy erupts from Lulu's body, and in that blinding flash, the ghostly warrior, the Hollyphant Lulu, and the bleeding citadel disappear.
Whoa. Oh.
Wow.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. First, it's time for some quick programming notes, and I'm going to tell you about an upcoming Cast Party live event. Beginning on October 16th, join us for a new actual play series presented by Cast Party and our friends at EN World Publishing's Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. To celebrate the publication of Level Up A5E's epic new hardcover adventure to save a kingdom, we are returning to Holdenshire to face haunted castles, the madness of a fairy queen, the lost secrets of dwarven ruins, and the greatest threat of all, the dreaded dragon Syroth, ruler of Skull Mountain and tyrant of the desolation. This new actual play series, releasing in both podcast form and on our YouTube channel, will use Level Up A5E rules to enhance the classic Dungeons & Dragons 5E experience. While you're waiting for the new show, it's a great time for a rewatch or a re-listen to Podcast Party Memories of Holdenshire, our previous Level Up A5E series, which serves as a prelude for To Slay a Dragon. You can find the link for the YouTube version in the show notes, and you can, of course, find Memories of Holdenshire, episodes 1 through 7, right here in this podcast feed. And stay tuned for the premiere episode of Podcast Party To Slay a Dragon, coming up on October 16th. As a quick programming note to introduce listeners to Slay a Dragon, we are going to take a brief pause in releasing episodes of Descent into Avernus. Episodes 1 and 2 of To Slay a Dragon will release on October 16th and 30th, respectively, and then Descent into Avernus will return for episode 72 on November 13th. From that point forward, we're going to stick with our usual production schedule of releasing a new actual play podcast every other Monday, alternating back and forth between new episodes of To Slay a Dragon and Descent into Avernus until the conclusion of Descent into Avernus. Would you like to defeat the Eldritch Horror who caused you to murder hundreds of people at your concert, just like Ophelia did in this episode? Cast Party's professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures and even some we've created ourselves. Details at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you're having trouble putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games. Only at Describe.com. That's Describe.com. Would you like a 10% off on that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you would like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure in Avernus.
As your sight returns, the solace of the cathedral is replaced by havoc, screams of panic, and acrid smoke. The four of you, Lulu is not with you, stand at the edge of a small town of burning cottages, fields, and trees. A broken sign on the ground reveals the settlement's name, Idle Glen. Shrieking townsfolk run from cackling, snarling demons and gnolls. As you appear and see the sign Idle Glen, I would like all of you to make either a history or religion check.
Renaissance with a 21 on religion.
Highland with a 22 on religion. That's a crit.
Felia did not roll as well. She rolled a 17.
Did you get advantage on the religion check?
It's with advantage because of my Helm of Tormsight.
And the cleric rolled religion and he got a 14.
Renaissance and Highland, I think that you do know what Idle Glen was. Ages ago, Idle Glen was threatened by Gnoll tribes, and as the Gnolls raided this town, a cleric of the god Lathander, Solndor Brightstar, led the people in prayer to his god for aid. And Lathander was moved by the people's bravery and sent the angel Zariel to defeat the Gnolls. After driving off the Gnolls, the people erected a statue of Zariel to honor her. And in fact, you can see this statue far to the east at the eastern edge of the town. You can see a statue of Zariel. Generations later, the Gnolls returned to Idle Glen, this time with demons in their ranks, and Yi Nagu himself leading the warband. Zariel and the Hell Riders came to Idle Glen's aid, but not before the town was mostly destroyed and many died. I will tell you exactly what you can see before we roll initiative. Right now, you have appeared in the midst of fire and smoke and destruction. There are gnolls surrounding you. There are six of them. There are trees that are burning in your general vicinity. You are immediately surrounded by these dog-faced humanoids, gnolls. They laugh maniacally. A half dozen smaller demons are furiously hacking away at an overturned cart. This cart has a woman underneath. You know this because her shrill scream of terror sounds from underneath it. And further ahead, to the east, near this immense statue of Zariel, you can see a giant hyena circling a much smaller mastiff. And the dog, you can see, is defiantly growling at it, although it is clearly outmatched. Behind these two fighting canines, a hulking demon is clawing at a large set of doors leading into a two-story white stone temple. And from within this temple, even at this distance, you can hear a cacophony of panicked screams and frantic prayers. Let's roll initiative.
Everyone does have a +4 on their initiative. I just wrote this down quickly, Matt. Gnolls surrounding us.
Yep.
Dretches threatening lady trapped under cart.
That's correct.
Dog facing off with giant hyena.
Giant hyena, absolutely, yes. Near this statue of Zariel.
Demon trying to get through doorway.
Absolutely, yes.
Alan got a 16.
Orban got a 19.
I want to help the dog, but it's super far away.
Ophelia got a 22.
Awesome. I mean, we have a gnoll situation here that can't be ignored.
Demonic gnolls, or they just look like regular gnolls?
No, they look like regular gnolls. Regular gnoll, regular gnoll. Yes, they are regular gnolls. All right, so Ophelia, with a 22, you're first.
I am going to pass Thunderclap.
That gets one.
It's a DC 16 con save.
It fails.
Gonna take 11 thunder damage.
Boom! This thunderclap emits out of your hands, and it grasps its ears and whines. Corbin, you're up.
Corbin is gonna say, Ilmata, kill these things. And he is going to cast Spirit Guardians at third level. And I think if he stays right where he is, he can get all of them. The Spirit Guardians are once again going to look like little skipping stones, and they're going to skip through the air, skimming around, missing his friends, and going for the gnolls. And that will be his turn.
Hyland, you're up.
I'm going to say, I want to understand you. And I'm going to vamp out my dragon wings, and I'm going to fly up 15 feet straight up, and I'm going to throw a psychic blade at the one by Ophelia that she hit with a thunderclap. The 21 to hit?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's 8 psychic, 18 sneak attack, and 11 radiant.
That gnoll is just, he has a heart attack right there and then, just falls to the ground dead. Eyes never close.
Okay. And I'm gonna stay where I am.
To your east, you just hear screaming from this woman as these dretches begin to tear apart the cart under which she seems to be trapped. Further to the east, this face-off between the giant hyena and this dog, they seem to be barking and snarling at each other. The giant hyena snarls, jumps at the mastiff, and misses. The mastiff retorts and bites it, does a certain amount of damage, and you see it tear off a little hunk of flesh off the giant hyena. The enormous demon far to the east pounding on the door, you see that it's splintering the door, but it does not break down the door. It is now time for these gnolls.
I would like them all to make DC 17 wisdom saving throw.
4 out of 5 make it. Holy shit.
If they make it, they take 4. If they didn't make it, they take 9.
Radiant. Yeah, unfortunately, they don't seem to have the same effect as those demonic-infused gnolls.
They're not fiendish gnolls, right? They're just
Well,
regular gnolls.
regular gnolls, they will run in towards you folks, poke at you with their spears, two-handed. So we've got one against Ophelia, one against Corbin, and three against Renaissance. Ophelia, that's a 20 non-natural.
Yeah, that'll hit.
That's four piercing. Corbin, that's a 13.
Misses.
The 15 is against you, Renaissance, which misses, and the next two. And neither one will hit. I know your AC is 21. They got a 15 and a 6.
Yeah.
Renaissance, it's your turn.
I bonus action Hex Strength on the one directly in front of me. I want to shove it 5 feet backwards.
Okay, so that's a strength contest.
Yes, it will have disadvantage because I just hexed it.
Very nice.
I just want to get past them. 14.
With disadvantage, it's a natural one. Yes, you shove it 5 feet backwards.
I run past them. They can take 3 op attacks on me.
Yeah, they turn and swing around and lance their spears at you.
So I attacked him. So I run up and now I'm just going to hit him to use my attack action anyway. I miss him with a 10. So yeah, now they can go ahead. 3 op attacks on me.
I saw all three of them and they all three did not hit your AC of 21. So they all three miss you.
I just roll and jump and dodge through all three of them as they're swinging at me. I'm just beelining for the woman who's trapped under the cart. I use my action to shove. So all I can do is use my movement to try to get towards her. That's it.
Back at the top of the round, Ophelia.
I am going to move so that I'm flanking with Corbin, and I am going to once again cast Thunderclap. That's a DC 16 con save.
Another peal of thunder, and it fails with a 6.
Okay, that's going to be 8 thunder damage.
It grasps its ears again, hearing this resounding clap of thunder, but it does not fall.
That's it for me.
Corbin, you're up.
Corbin is going to say, Ilmalta, kill them. He's going to cast Word of Radiance. He can get 2 with that. DC 17 con save.
They both fail.
They both take 12 points of radiant damage.
The one to the west of you falls in a brilliant, blinding, bluish white light and is burnt to a radiant crisp. And the one to the north of you takes a certain amount but does not fall.
He's actually going to move in between the three that Renaissance just left, and he'll take 1 op attack to do that.
It misses you with a 14.
And that's his turn.
Hylan, you're up.
I'm still 15 feet in the air. I would like to manifest a psychic blade and throw it at the knoll that is north of Corbin. That's a 19 to hit.
That'll hit.
Oh, that's a 7 psychic and 26 sneak attack for 33 damage.
Oh yeah, absolutely deceased.
Great, now you're not flanked. And now I would like to manifest a second blade and throw it at the one to my west. That's a 23 to hit.
That will hit.
And that will be 6 psychic damage.
It only had 6 hit points, so you did a double kill right there.
Nice.
Double kill. Okay. And then I'm gonna move 30 feet east in the air still.
The dretches, you guys can see them. They have absolutely now finished destroying the cart. There are pieces of wood everywhere. The woman underneath is just screaming her lungs out and crying. She looks like she's gonna bite it next turn. Meanwhile, dog versus dog, the giant hyena will take an attack at this poor little doggy. Oh, damn, I crit.
Oh, you crit against a dog?
I know. Wow. Listen, it's not my fault. It's the hyenas, right? It's the hyenas.
I don't know why they would put a dog in here at all, to tell you the truth.
I don't know. It's also put it 300 feet away from us under attack. I guess just to make us feel bad.
It probably is. It just ravages this dog and just throws it to the side, and the dog stops moving. It is now the remaining gnoll.
There's two.
It's two gnolls.
They can make saving throws. Wisdom DC 17 wisdom.
All right, they fail. A 3 and a 9.
They both take 10 points.
Yeah, they are withered by this attack, but they are not dead.
I say to them, yield in Abyssal.
They don't understand you at all. They look at each other, and then they look at you, and then they just jump at you. They will lunge at you with their spears. The first one misses you with a 5. The second one, 17.
Misses. Right off the shield.
Excellent, excellent. Renaissance, it's your turn.
I keep running forward as far as my movement is going to get me. They are in range.
Nice.
I scream at them as I'm charging towards them. I fire 3 Eldritch Blasts. I say, over here, you bastards, come and get me.
What language do you say it in?
I will say that in Abyssal. And to try to piss off as many of them, I'm actually going to scattershot my Eldritch Blasts.
Got it.
So one each of the 3 that are closest to me.
Okay, I'm going to say this. If you hit all 3, I'm going to have you make a intimidation check. If the intimidation succeeds, they're going to disengage from their attacks on this cart and run towards you. But you have to hit all 3.
First shot is a 21.
That'll hit.
Second shot is a 26.
That will hit.
Third shot is a 14.
That will hit. Nice.
Woo!
First of all, just a real quick damage rolls on them. First shot is an 8, second shot is a 9, and third shot is a 7. And you said intimidation?
Yes, please.
11.
Well, hold on. Their intelligence is pretty shitty. Hold on. Let me just check them out here. I'm going to make them do an intelligence because that's like just on the cusp. So I'm going to make them make an intelligence saving throw. Here we go. Yeah, they fail it with a 2. Amazing.
Nice.
So they,
nice.
They just boom, boom, boom. They all look down. They see just purplish holes in them. They're like... And then all 6 of them disengage from the cart and begin to run in your direction on their next turn.
Awesome.
Awesome.
From your position, Reticence, you see this brutish demon who's just battering at the door. And once again, he fails to break down the door, but it does seem that it is splintering and breaking. Maybe next round he might be able to break it down. Ophelia.
Ophelia runs around north of Corbin until she is standing between the two remaining gnolls. And once again, we'll cast Thunderclap.
You're going to hit Corbin.
Okay, just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Oh, because he's still 5 feet. DC 6. Con save.
Yeah, they both fail.
They each take 11 damage.
Corbin crit failed. He crit
Corbin,
failed.
No!
Oh, what are you doing? Shit. Ow.
Oh,
and
no.
I will make a constitution saving throw for my spirit
oh
guardians.
Oh my god, I swear to god.
A 19.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
19.
You did damage.
Right.
Both gnolls right around you grab their heads and their heads just pop like ticks. And they fall to the ground.
Sorry, Corbin.
You still don't know how to use that spell, do you? Shit.
I guess not. I really don't use
it's a
very
fucking
often.
Cantrip. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Corbin is going to step on the dead gnoll and head east. And he's going to use a double move and get right next to Renaissance. So that's his action. So he's going to just, at first level, cast Healing Word on himself. And the Healing Word's going to be Ophelia. And he's going to cast it at first level.
Sorry.
Give himself 8 points back.
Hyland, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to move 30 feet in the air. So I am just behind Corbin and up 15 feet. And then I'm going to manifest the Psychic Blade. And after I do that, mechanically, I'm going to roll a 1d10 energy die. And I'll tell you why in a second. Awesome. So I am going to throw that blade 60 feet in front of me and teleport to where the blade lands.
Awesome.
And then I still have a bonus action. So I'm going to manifest a second blade and throw it at the closest dretch to me. That's an 18 to hit.
Yep.
That's 6 psychic damage. That's my turn.
Yeah, the dretches will just disengage from this cart and will run screaming in your direction. And when I say run, I say that only sort of jokingly because dretches don't really run. They're really kind of slow. So they will take their entire turn to run 40 feet.
I'm in the air, don't forget.
Oh yeah, well I guess they'll run. Yeah, they can't really run at you. They sort of like curse you and sort of scrabble at you in the air. They're going to run at Renaissance, but they can only run even with their action 40 feet. So they're just running at Renaissance. Further down the road, the hyena sees the commotion to the west of it and will use its entire movement 50 feet to run in your direction. With its action, that's 100 feet, sprints at you. That's its turn. Renaissance, it's now your turn.
I keep charging towards the dretches. I still only get about halfway between where I was and where they are. I will now bonus action shift the hex onto the closest dretch to me, and I'm looking for the 3 that I injured before.
Those are the one closest to you.
Okay, so I'm once again going to scatter my Eldritch Blast shots, one at each. First shot is a 19.
Yep.
Second shot is a 19.
Yep, yep, yep.
Third shot is a 21.
Yes, all 3 hit.
All right.
Okay, so the first one, this is a guy who also is hexed. He takes 3 force and an additional 1 necrotic for 4. Let's return to form here with the spell. And the next guy takes 2 force.
Okay.
But the third one does take 10 force, which may finish him off.
Yeah, indeed it does. Yeah, absolutely. He falls to the ground face first.
And that is my turn.
It is now that massive demon far to the right's turn. It pounds the door, screaming and wailing, and finally you hear a sickening crunch as the door gives way, and you just hear a cavalcade of screams inside this structure. Ophelia, it's your turn.
I'm going to run, and then I am going to cast Crown of Madness on this stretch in the center.
Wisdom saving throw?
He's 16.
Fails with a 10.
A thorny crown appears on its head, and its eyes glow with madness. It uses its action to make an attack against the creature next to it.
Awesome. Anything else, Ophelia?
Nope, that's it for me.
Corbin, you're up.
Corbin's going to run right up to Ren, 30 feet, and then he's going to use his action to keep going to get all the dretches in his spirit guardian.
Keep going, help the people. He's going to say, I got this shit.
You said there's a big hyena back there, right? So Corbin is going to cast spiritual weapon at just that second level, next to that hyena, in between us and the hyena.
Awesome.
I rolled a 26.
Yeah, that'll hit.
12 points of force damage. It's my turn.
The pillow hits it right in the muzzle, wrinkles its nose. And it's your turn, Hyland.
Okay, I'm going to fly up 10 more feet, so I'm 25 feet in the air. And then I'm going to fly 20 feet to the east. And then I'm going to, again, try to teleport. So I'm going to manifest a blade, and I'm going to roll to see how far I can go. Yes! I got a 9. So I teleport 90 feet.
Holy shit!
Way past the hyena.
Now I'm going to dash, bonus action dash, 30 more feet. I'm closing in, and I'm going to stay there and keep trying to get close enough to help the people in the building.
It is now the Dretch's turn. All 5 of them are in your spirit guardians, so they will all make wisdom saving throws.
DC 17.
Okay, fail, fail, succeed, fail, succeed. So 3 out of 5 fail.
The failures each take 9 radiant, and the succeeders take 4.
Yeah, the two Dretches closest to you are withered by the spirit guardians and fall to their knees and are absolutely destroyed. The others take damage from them, but do not fall. One of them turns to his brethren and bites him right in the throat with your clown of madness.
It's not a clown of madness.
Clown of madness. Even better. Did I say
That's
clown
a better
of madness?
Spell.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Bite and claw. It will hit. It will bite and hit and claw and hit, and it will kill him.
Nice.
Amazing. You just see him just jump on the other dretch and just demon ichor just spools everywhere. And then he stands up. Does he get a save after this, or does he just crown of madness forever?
He does get a save, yeah.
He critted on that one, so he wakes up after, and he just looks at his claws. It's just covered with demon ichor.
I'm a murderer.
Yeah. The other one runs at Corbin, still aflame with your radiant magic, and will bite and claw at you, and misses twice, a 13 and a 10. The giant hyena, it's his turn. He sort of like turns around, he sees Hyland flying 90 feet away, and he just like looks back and forth between Corbin and Hyland in the air, and he's just like, and then he runs at Corbin full tilt.
DC 17, wisdom.
Absolutely, he runs right into it. Wisdom saving throw. He fails with a 7.
9 radiant.
He definitely winces in pain and will take a bite at you, Corbin. 22 to hit.
Oh yeah, that hit.
11 piercing damage.
Ow.
So this hyena just grabs you by the arm and just rakes its teeth down your arm.
I'm gonna make a constitution saving throw. A 20. I got it.
You're perfectly fine.
To maintain my concentration.
Yep. Absolutely. Renaissance, it's your turn.
I charge into the spirit guardians. I cut north of Corbin, right past the newly unmad dretch, so it can go ahead and op attack me if it wants.
It will indeed. Fails with a 12.
Yeah, so I just took the dash action. I kind of ran through the melee, and I'm just running towards where the demon broke down the door. But I'm pretty fucking far. And that is my turn.
The demon rams its way into this structure as it makes its way through this building, sowing terror and horror in its wake. Ophelia, it's your turn.
Ophelia will run toward the others and will attack the hyena with dissonant whispers. So make a whiz saving throw, DC 16.
Fails with a 6.
All right, it's going to take 6 psychic damage, and it must immediately run away.
6 psychic damage, which it does. It just turns tail, and you just hear... So yeah, it just runs directly south, right into the burning trees. Absolutely, you can.
The 16 with the hammer. That is 5 bludgeoning and 1 blessed strikes. Radiant.
Yeah, you catch it right in the hindquarters. Anything else, Ophelia?
That's it for me.
All right, Corbin, you're up.
Corbin's going to move his pillow up. Pretty sure he can get that dretch that's towards the back. 21.
That'll hit.
He takes 8 force damage.
Destroyed.
Awesome.
And then Corbin is going to leave this dretch and run away from him, so he'll take an op attack.
Misses you with a 12.
And he's going to use his action to sprint past Renesis. And as he runs by that woman by the cart, he's going to look at her and go, "Are you all right?"
She's just standing there in the middle of the road, and she's crying. She's saying something, but you can't hear her. You're too far from her. Hyland, it's your turn.
Okay, I'm going to fly straight forward 30 feet.
Hyland, when you fly over the body of the Mastiff, you see that the dog's sides are moving. It's still alive, but barely.
I'm very sorry, dog, but I have to help these people be strong. As I'm in front of the statue of Zariel, I'm about 25 feet up. I don't know if I'm sort of like over it or eye level or what the deal is.
You're not at eye level, but you're close to it.
And I just say, "This is horrific. I understand. It's not fair that anyone has to suffer, and we can't stop it. I can't save this dog. I can't save all of those people. I want to. And I know you wanted to, and it hurts so much, but you have to come back to the light. It's not just our personal pain that matters." And I'm gonna conjure a blade, and I'm gonna roll a d10 again. So then I throw my blade 50 feet in front of me and teleport there. Do I see the demon?
You do. You see the backside of it, of its scaly form, its 10-foot massive hulking form. You see that it's got sort of toad-like face, a giant gaping maw of teeth, and slitted eyes.
Okay, so I'm gonna call to it and say, "Leave them alone, come and face me." And I have my dragon wings out, and I am imagining that my dragon wings are out and behind me is the statue's wings, larger. And I'm going to conjure my second blade and throw it.
See how well you do.
Not very, that's a 15.
15 is not enough. It just pings off the back of his head.
Except that I have homing strikes in it. So I'm going to summon some more radiant energy and try to see if I can hit, because I see that it's going awry a little bit. Damn it! It's a 16.
16 is target.
Okay, great. I just want to get its attention.
So it turns in your direction.
That does 8 psychic plus 11 radiant because I'm flying, so that's 19 points a day.
The single dretch that's remaining, okay, the only person it can get to right now is Renesis. So it runs at Renesis.
Good luck with that.
Exactly. Nope, 9 and an 8. Misses both times.
I'm just running. He's chasing me, I'm running.
The giant hyena is still running south through the fire and flames. It stops, it sees all these fire-ridden homes. It turns around and stalks right back the direction it came and runs at you, Ophelia. Misses you with a 12. A Renesis, it's your turn.
I'm gonna run again. The dretch cannot attack me.
Misses.
And I just dash towards the temple, which unfortunately is still very far away.
Okay, as you pass this woman crying on the road, she sort of like turns and looks up at you, and she like reaches out an arm towards you, and she says, "Please, please save my son, please."
"Where is he?"
"He's in there." And she points to the building.
"Right, on it. Get yourself someplace safe. Don't be caught out here in the open. Hide somewhere."
"They just came out of nowhere. Oh, Zariel, save us."
She screams.
I know. It's gonna be all right. I'll help you, boy. Go hide.
The demonic creature turns in your direction, Hyland, and comes out of the building. It is coated with blood. And you are how high up in the air?
25 feet.
It will run towards the statue of Zariel. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And then it will leap through the air and jump onto the statue, like a miniature King Kong jumping onto the Empire State Building. And then you will dash to climb up another 15 feet. It clings to the statue and looks at your direction. Looks like it'll probably pounce on you the next turn. Ophelia, it's your turn.
Okay, I cast Tash of Mind Whip on the hyena.
What is that, intelligence?
Yeah, intel, DC 16.
It rolled a 3.
It's gonna take 11 psychic damage.
That's all it had. So this one falls to your Mind Whip.
And I run forward.
Nice.
Anything else, Ophelia?
That is it for me.
All right, Corbin, your turn.
Corbin is once again, he's just gonna keep running forward next to Ren, and he's once again going to take the dash action. 30 feet. Can he see that dog?
Yeah.
Somebody save this dog. It's on my conscience now.
And Corbin's going to cast Healing Word on it, which gives him 60 feet, which I believe he's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
So 8 points of healing if it's still alive.
Oh, it's still alive, and it has sprung to life. It sort of looks up and goes...
You're right.
Yes.
Good dog. Good dog.
It's a whole conversation. And then I saw a white light.
Hyland.
I'm going to fly 30 feet straight up in the air. And then I'm going to manifest two blades, and I'm going to throw both of them at this thing. I understand I don't get sneak attack, but I had to get out of the range there.
You're within 10 feet of it, aren't you?
Yep.
Please make a constitution saving throw. This stench, worse than the dretches, worse than anything that you've smelled, emanates off of this toad demon, and you gag.
Gross.
And unfortunately, you are poisoned until the start of your next turn. So you'll make these attacks, unfortunately, with disadvantage.
Okay, the first one's a crit fail, and then the second one is a 12.
Nope, neither one hit, unfortunately.
Okay, so I'm just, like, trying not to hurl 30 feet in the air.
Renaissance, it's your turn.
Right, I just keep charging forward.
Dog springs up, looks at you.
Yeah, I'm going to wing three Eldritch Blasts at our buddy on this climbing on the Zariel statue here. First shot is a 27.
Yes.
Second shot is an 11.
No.
Third shot is a 23.
Yes.
Yes.
That will be a grand total of 13 force damage. That's my turn.
It is now the toad demon's turn. I'm going to call it by its actual name, the Hezru. It looks at you, it cackles, little bits of slime pool in its mouth as it does so. It climbs to the top of the statue of Zariel and sits there, squatting, and it emits this foul screech. But it actually is a word. But it's a word in Abyssal. And that word is Garok Nul. So it sounds like this.
Garok Nul!
And from the north, you hear a similar cry, except this one much more guttural.
Garok Nul!
Much more bestial. All of you see this creature appear, bashing its way through fiery ruins. This creature is 10 feet tall, but where its legs would be, you see a serpentine tail. And in terms of arms, where there ought to only be two, it has six, each of them grasping a weapon, sickles and swords. Instead of a humanoid face, there is only that of a massive gnoll, Garok Nul, champion of Yinagu. And as it screams its name, you know you're in for a fight.
Thanks for listening. This episode featured the Dungeon Master stylings of Matt Gordon, with Andy Canistra as pain bearer Corbin Shiv, Carolyn Fox as Hylan, Rachel Tamarin as Ophelia, and me, Tal Aviazer, as Renaissance. This episode was edited by me and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DeMasso. Some sound effects in this episode are courtesy of Sirenscape. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the first episode of To Slay a Dragon.
Ooh, it's got a snake body. Oh, a snake tail. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Why don't you marry Garok Nul since you love him so much?
There he is, folks. I mean, right there.
Maybe he'll dominate me and I will, because that's what I like.
Wow.